Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Okay, hi everybody. Hi Mitch, how are you
going? Hi, good morning. Guten Tag. I'm turning up as a German today.
It's good to be back. We're really excited because we've got our very special guest on today, and I'm just going to introduce her straight away, Shani Thompson. Great to see you.
Hello, Shani.
Great to be here. I'm so happy I could give you some of my time today.
Oh, that sounds familiar. You're a cheeky bugger. So for those of you who don't know, Shani, how long has it been since we met, since you first met us? I think it was at a Mastermind of Money many, many years ago, wasn't it?
It was, I think, your first Gold Coast Mastermind of Money. Whoa, what was that? Was
it about 2009 then? Mm.
It was ages ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. That was a long time because I know, you know, I mean, we talk to our clients because we want to share their stories. So it's been almost 10 years then. So that'll be good to hear all of this and have it on a have it on a podcast for everybody to hear. But before we get started, you know that we love starting with songs. And so I want to see if you've got a song that you like to share for us or sing for us, what you're listening to at the moment or your go-to song.
Or oh, get I Mitch have to pick the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys know the song Pump? Pump the jam.
Pump it up.
While your feet are stomping in the gym, is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one.
Oh, my God.
So do you listen to that?
You weren't even friggin' born when that song came out.
I freaking love that song.
Pump the jam, pump it up.
Who sang that? Was that Snap? No.
No.
It was, wasn't that like
Technotronic?
Technotronic.
Yeah. One of our sound guys just came in and said Technotronic. 1989. There you go. Were you born in 89? Were you born in 89?
I was born in 88, baby.
There you go. Such a baby. Mm. All these people we're speaking to making us feel so old.
Like a doddery old fart.
So, Shan, how about talking to us about a little bit about how you met us and how you heard about us and let's start sharing. But
what do you do, Shan? What do you do?
Now yes. I am
got it. Well, hang on a second. So do you see that the concept of leading into that so that people okay, this is where she was at so we can lead into that.
No, I think we should start with what she does and then how she got there.
All right.
Let's start with the destination and then reverse engineer. Let's go.
I know.
Well, now I am a professional network marketer. So I work full-time on my own business. But prior to doing this, I was a registered nurse. I was an anesthetic assistant. And actually, now that I think about it, it wasn't 2010 when I met you guys. I thought it was the first GC Mastermind of Money, but it was when Matt and I first started dating my now hubby. Yeah. And that was 7 years ago. So that was the first Mastermind of Money I went to.
Right. Yeah. Because I was like, no, I don't know whether that was the case. But yeah, I think it was 7 years ago now. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, at the time, I was a registered nurse and I was broke AF. And I remember having a $12,000 credit card debt that I was so embarrassed about. I didn't tell my mom or my dad. I hadn't even told Matt. And, you know, Matt and I had been best friends for years before we got together. And he always had his money like sorted. He had his shit together. He had his properties. He had his own business. And then we started dating and I was so embarrassed to tell him about the financial situation that I was in. I couldn't even afford to pay the interest, but I was just scraping by. I was filling my car up with a $5 note every few days. And yeah, I was just in a really, really bad financial situation. And so,
Shan, can I interrupt you for a sec? Tell me, how did that happen like for you? Like what was going on that kind of got to that point?
When I was studying, I got a credit card while I was at university because I thought, well, I can't work. I was doing 40-hour weeks as a student nurse, not getting paid. And so my solution to be able to buy the things I wanted and go to the movies and go out for dinners and, you know, do the things that my friends were doing was to get a credit card because that was like, in my mind, free money. Like I didn't understand how a credit card worked. I just knew that I could apply for this credit card. I was told I could get $2,000 and you just pay it off, you know, month by month. And that sounded genius to me at the time. And so I got the credit card, and over the space of the 5 years that I was at university, that credit card limit went from 2,000 to 3,000 to 5 to, and it just grew and grew. And every time I'd get a letter in the mail, congratulations, your credit card limit has been extended. I was like, yes. And so I would increase it. And yeah, I just got to a position where I was just way in over my head. But I was using that credit card for really silly things, like just, yeah, I wasn't paying it back. I was filling up my car and then not paying it back. And then I was splurging and buying things I couldn't afford and couldn't pay it back. And so that's how I got myself in that situation.
Yeah.
It seems like a smart thing to do at the time, doesn't it? Go to college and get a fucking credit card.
Well, but I remember that, though, for myself. It was the same. It's like at some point I got this thing for my I don't know how old I was. Was my in my early 20s, I got this card or this notification that I had bad credit or something. There was a problem with my credit rating. I went, what do you mean? And I didn't understand that you had to pay the credit card back at a certain time. Like I thought you could just – like I kind of got it, but I didn't get that the effect of it. I didn't understand the ongoing effects of it. Mm. And it's funny how we don't get taught those kinds of things really, isn't it? Here you go, have the credit card. Here's some unlimited cash. But you don't realise that, you know, the effects of it or what the ramifications are if you don't pay it back. So anyway, go on, keep going.
So what happened from there?
So I was just in a situation where I couldn't afford groceries. I had maxed out the credit card, and although I was at this point I was a registered nurse already, I'd finished university, but I was just like there was more month at the end of the money. Like I just couldn't get by. I couldn't buy my groceries. I was living by myself in Brisbane. I'd moved out of home, so I had bills, I had rent, but I had no budgeting system. I didn't understand the concept of how to pay this credit card off or how to get rid of it. I understood there were minimum repayments, so I was just getting by. And then I'll never forget, I don't even know how it came out, but I think Matt and I were talking about maybe having a first holiday together as a couple, and I just came out. I was like, oh, no, that's not possible. Unless you're shouting. And it was the first person I told, actually, I've got a $12,000 credit card debt that's been accruing for the last 4 or 5 years and actually don't even know how to get rid of it. And I literally can't even afford to put fuel in my car to come visit you on the Gold Coast because I lived in Brisbane, which is an hour away. And it sort of just unraveled from there. And he was kind of like, what? Like, how did I not know this? Like, I think he was more in shock because Matt's so like straighty 180, have your shit together. It was like a dark secret he didn't know about me. So, yeah, I guess Matt being the person he is, he just wanted to help. And he wasn't going to give me a cop out and fix it. He was like, you've got to fix this yourself. And so
was that affecting you as a person though? I mean, having that hanging over your head for 4 years, was it affecting your temperament? Was it affecting your behavior? Like, did you feel like you were having to hide it from not just Matt, but everybody?
Totally. Because in everyone's eyes, I had a successful career. I had just got my dream job as an anesthetic assistant. Right. I was working full time. Like I nailed the job, but you know, so I sort of felt like there was a front that I had to put on in front of family. But as well, there was also this sense of desperation for me. Like I was trying to pick up shifts. I was doing night shifts. I was doing calls because I needed extra money at work. So I ended up finding myself working 50 hours a week just to get by. And so, yeah, it totally affected the way I did life.
Right. And, you know, we talk about net worth and self-worth all the time. I mean, did it affect your self-worth, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't look after myself health-wise. I didn't do the things that I valued. I didn't put myself first. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that I deserved Matt. I remember thinking, like, why does this guy like me? Like, I don't deserve this guy. He's great. So, yeah, absolutely. I was in all sorts.
They're such a trap, aren't they? I mean, they're just such a trap, especially at such a young age, you know, when you're vulnerable to that stuff and you're trying to educate yourself, you're trying to get your career on going, and then you just get hooked and then, yeah.
Anyway, go on, tell us. So you were at the point, yeah, Matt, yeah.
Yeah, Matt suggested, hey, I'm going to do this two-day thing and it's free for you, come along. And he explained it was called Mastermind and Money. And I was like, are you kidding? I'm not going to spend my weekend indoors all day. That was the first thing I said. And I was like, no, you go. You just tell me all the good bits. And so he went to the first day with his brothers and he came back that night and he pretty much just said, if you don't get your ass to this auditorium tomorrow, this theater room, what was it? You guys had it in like a university, yeah. I think. Yeah, it was at Bond Uni. He was like, yeah, you literally need this in your life. It's really important that you come. So I was one of those people that got dragged to the second day and sitting there with my arms crossed, like, why am I here? This is bullshit. And I just couldn't believe like what you guys were sharing, and it just resonated so true. And I remember asking for a booklet because I didn't have one, and I've never listened to someone so intently like that day, because you guys were teaching the wealth principles on the second day. And I took that book away and I went home. I implemented it straight away. I probably did it wrong in the first, the first time, but I walked away from that day thinking, my life's going to change now. Like, this is what I've been hoping for. And I was always one of those people that, I don't know, it was really strange. I always had a knowing that I'd get myself out of that situation. I didn't know how. Sometimes I'd be like, maybe I'll win the lotto. I don't know. So oblivious, so naive. But, I just had this knowing that something was going to come and help me get out of that situation. And it was that day. That day completely flipped my life around. I don't know where I'd be today if I didn't go to that event.
What do you think is the one thing that kind of stood out from that, though? What do you think was the one thing that actually got you to realize something? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it was just that there was an answer. I just walked away feeling so sure. I just felt like the universe had answered something that I had been asking for, and it was just so clear. It's like I walked into that room and then I walked out a completely different person, and I almost went home that day and just thought, oh, my gosh, like, finally, this is the answer. This is what I've been asking for.
Right. Mm.
So that I can't physically or put it down to one thing. It was more the feeling that I had walking out of that room.
I think that's a good response anyway, because at the end of the day, that's our intention, is to, I think people come to, and this is not just our events, any events, they come to an event looking for some sort of solution to a particular problem or a particular concern that they have. And our intention is to be able to provide that answer in some way to help people feel like, oh, okay, I just have to follow a certain set of principles. I have to just do X, Y, Z, and it's actually there. Because at the end of the day, we tend to complicate things a little bit. Like, we overcomplicate things, and sometimes you just need somebody to tell you that it's fairly straightforward. It's just that you've got to, put certain things into place or watch how you're avoiding putting certain things into place, So where to from there? What happened then?
Well, I implemented what felt like the hardest thing in my life into my finances, but it was really beautiful what happened from there. I mean, money just started falling out of the sky. I felt like all these opportunities sort of kept showing up, and I paid off that credit card in 18 months. So I've actually got the photo of it on my phone. The day that I chopped it up was the day that I balanced it to zero. Matt and I had a really special moment that day, and it was just such a good feeling chopping that card in half. And I've never had a credit card since. So everything that I've done in my life since then has been income that I've earned and saved and had an account for. And that's something that I'm really proud of because, yeah, I don't use credit cards. I don't use debt or I don't use income that's not mine. It's all hard-earned cash that I've saved and worked really hard for now.
Mm. So what did you find the event called on you to be? I mean, you must have always known that, I mean, as everybody does, you know, there's another me that I'm trying to get to that wouldn't have had me in this situation that is organized and disciplined. What do you think that event called on you to be? And what, you know, what called you into action to actually do something?
I think it called me to be organized and just committed to something. My whole life, I had always been such a flaky person on everything, whether it was jobs, like I never held a job longer than a year. I'd always jump job to job. That nursing job that I had was the first time I'd actually stayed in a job for longer than a year. And so I think it called on me to be committed to something finally for once.
Right.
And the commitment that I had to make to myself, I kind of like signed a contract with myself. Like from now onwards, I promise to myself that I'm going to see this through because I can see how it could work. Mm. And well, what's it been now? Yeah, like 7 years that I've been doing the Wealth Principles, and my gosh, it's completely changed my life.
Yeah. Mm. And then, so tell me about, because you work with a lot of men and women, but predominantly women, right? Tell me about that. Tell me about why you have, I mean, you're an influencer in some way, but why you have, why do you feel you have such good team? What do you think that is?
Well, I see myself in so many of the women that join the team because I know what that feels like when you're in a position where you know you deserve more, you know you have more, you know you can give more, but you just don't know. I didn't have anyone in my life at the time who was a mentor or someone who could guide me. I didn't even have people in my life who I looked up to with, you know, in career, in business, in finances. I didn't have anyone like that I could just have a heart to heart with and go, what do I do? Like, I'm really stuck right now. I didn't have that person in my life back then. And so I see a lot of people who, it's like I attract Shani 7 years ago. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that person is so freaking committed to figuring it out. They're so hungry for the answer. They're so hungry to do whatever it takes to make it work. And I think that's why I love doing what I do, because I just see myself 7 years ago, and I just, every time I talk to someone who's in that same position, or it might not necessarily be financial, it might just be a void in values or a void in mission. Like they just don't know what else they can do to fulfill them. And it's just so exciting when you meet someone with that hunger and that desire, because you know that they're going to go all the way no matter what.
I love that. The thing that we think is our biggest struggle is the thing that we then go and help other people with, you know, at the end of the day. So I love hearing that. I want to say, you know, I know that because I want to touch on your moment, and I want to touch on relationships and you for a minute, because I know that was also big for you. And I just want to, because I know that there was a little part of you, because you, I think there was the, you know, in terms of getting your wealth principles in place, I think that was something really quite structured and something that you could do and something that you could like physically kind of manage and handle. But what happened in terms of relationships and you in the next step, like in terms of you getting to that next step of doing some work with us?
Well, first of all, I had no idea what relationships and you was going to be about.
Yeah.
I joined because I remember doing it because I had had a friendship at the time fall apart, and I was really upset by it. And then what I realized, that relationship and you was the relationship with you, with yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that moment for me was really, really big, because a story I had been carrying around was that I wasn't enough. And it stemmed back to a crazy childhood memory that I had never thought about in my life until relationships and you. And that moment was I had gotten kicked out of home. It was kind of like my mum and dad. I mean, I love my mum and dad, and they did this to teach me a lesson. And I went back home a few months later, but I got kicked out of home because I wasn't following the house rules. Like I was being pretty stubborn. I was being disobedient to my parents. I think I was like 19 at the time. So it was time for me to leave. And I remember packing my bags and putting everything in the back of my little Toyota Yaris. And I, everything I owned fit in that little tiny boot. And I had a house that I was going to move into with a friend from school. And the moment that I had in my subconscious was the moment that I shut my door and drove out the driveway, and my mom was there waving goodbye, like goodbye. And she was crying. And, but I don't know why this whole thing around that situation was, I'm not good enough. I'm not, like, I got kicked out of home. I wasn't good enough to be in the household. Like, so many things had come up for me. And so that moment was the moment that I realized like how much freaking love there was in that moment. And it was a story I had been carrying around for a really long time unknowingly, but then realizing how much that had shaped me into where I was at the time was just like mind blowing.
So did you kind of feel like as she was waving at you, it was like, goodbye, Shani. Thank God she's gone.
She probably was like that. Like, oh, it's funny. It's, out of my house. Yeah,
thank God, see you later. These are tears of gratitude. Thank fuck she's gone. But it's funny how, isn't it funny how we, you know, the brain just writes this script and then hangs on to it and just, you know, and then we don't realize that the thing that we think is actually holding us back actually holds the greatest amount of love and blessing, and it was actually her saying, you're able to do this, kiddo, and if this is what you have to do to go and realize that, well then I'm all on board. This is what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, the independence that came from that moment is huge. Huge.
But it's funny then, as like that we take that and without even thinking, so I think that's an important point, that without even thinking about that having an effect on your life, it kind of had an effect on every aspect of your life, right? Because even the fact that you're, you know, you've got yourself into, you know, the debt and you don't feel like, you know, and then Matt, you don't feel like Matt, you deserve Matt. And then, you know, it's like this, it's a snowballing effect, and we don't realize what gets us into these positions until we actually stop and look. So what was that moment like for you? What was that, what was the feeling, or was that expression of that moment for you?
It was like this, I can't even explain it in words. How can you? But it was a moment of, like, I lost my breath out of the, like, just the moment being so big. I was breathless because I was just like, whoa, holy shit. Like, I felt like a star fell out of the sky and just hit me in the head. And all of a sudden everything made sense. And the feeling that came from that was, I can't believe how much I love her. It was just like this love that you just, you know, right now I've got a new puppy and I love my puppy. I just like kiss her every day. She's probably so sick of me right now. And it's like this love, like this unconditional love. I love you. But the love I felt in that moment, like I wish we could all feel that 24/7, because it was tears, laughter, like that weird feeling of like bursting out with laughter and bawling your eyes out at one time, because it's just like this, whoa, like that's just insane. So it was a really beautiful moment.
So leading on from there, what's happened from that point on? What's been going on? Share what's happened from, you know, in terms of, I mean, you're not a nurse anymore, right? What happened with all that?
Yeah, so I...
Well, you're still a nurse. You just don't work in that field.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from me.
We should call her Nurse Shani from now on. Nurse Shan.
What happened was, well, when I did RNY, I had already left my nursing job. So in between Mastermind and Money and RNY, I had, I guess my self-worth just grew there just by implementing the wealth principles. And I'd sort of realized that I had a really big purpose on this planet. And as much as I loved what I was doing in my nursing career, I just felt like there was this bigger calling. I had a bigger mission, a bigger vision. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew I was destined for more. It was just like this inner knowing that I think I'm meant to be doing something bigger than this. Mm. And so I pursued health coaching. You know, I started getting really into my health after, I don't know, it was really weird. Started implementing the wealth principles and all of a sudden my self-worth starts to grow. I start looking into my health a little bit more. I start looking after my body. I ended up studying nutrition coaching, which was just like a fun side hobby thing alongside nursing. And then I just really realized, oh my gosh, like I can really use this knowledge and empower people to up level with their health. I think I want to do that on the side. And what started out as a hobby business, it was just, I was just coaching a few people here and there, turned into in a really big following of people who really wanted to work with me. And this is just how crazy life works. At that Mastermind and Money event that I was at, I sat next to a gentleman who was a complete stranger to me that day. And there's an activity we do in Mastermind and Money where we have to link up with a stranger next to us and we have a quick chat. This man is Anthony. I have a chat with him. He's a chiropractor. I tell him I'm a nurse. We realize we have similar values. And we stayed connected. We met, we sort of stayed connected after that event, and it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to say maybe a year and a half after Mastermind and Money, he reaches out to me and says, hey, I'd really love to share something with you that I've started. It's in the wellness area. Come check it out. It ended up being Juice Plus, and that's how I was introduced to Juice Plus. And from there, I integrated that business model into my existing coaching that I already had. And it's just, yeah, grown from there. My gosh, it's just gone gangbusters.
It's awesome.
It's just insane how life works, right? I went to that event because I knew, well, actually, I didn't go to that event willingly, but I walked out of there knowing my life was about to change. Mm. Not only did my life change financially, but I was introduced to a person who later in my life ended up being someone who had a vehicle for me that where I could create my dream life. And that's just, it's a bit mind blowing how that happened and the synchronicity there.
So just let's talk just briefly about creating your dream life. Yeah. Tell me some of the things that, what is the future hold for Shani Thompson right now? What's the future hold?
Well, right now, we're just really excited about helping as many people as we can through what's going on in the world.
Yep.
I think we have a really beautiful opportunity to help people in health, but also financially. Mm-hmm. For Matt and I mean, we've just finished, we've been together now over 7 years and we've traveled the world together. We did our dream honeymoon. We traveled the world for 12 months and we've come back. We live in our dream home now. And now I'm 32. So it's time for us to have a family soon. So I'm just excited for that. I'm just so excited that I'm not going to be stuck in a job that I'm going to have to go back to, you know, after my maternity leave ends. That to me, being able to stay home with my children when they're here is just, that's a dream come true for me. That's why I said yes to this, because I was looking in the future and I thought, wow, I really want to create an opportunity for us where we can stay home with the kids. And so that's what our future looks like, which is exciting.
Wow.
And
I love that you've got, you know, an online system to really help people to, you know, you give them so much value, you know, with your online, the Emporium, you know. And I love that there's so much value there for them and that you give them over and above. And I think that's just, that to me is really awesome. What do you think is the one thing or the, you know, the main thing that you want to help people with. You know, if they could come out of anything, out with anything from what you teach them, what would that be, Shan?
My biggest, if I could write in saying one sentence what my mission is, it's to inspire and live life inspired. And so I love to help people up level. I love to see people become inspired to make change in their life, whether that's with their wellness or whether that's with their financial situation or even just their mission in life. I love to see people light up at the thought, oh, wow, I can up level here. I can do better. And so my every day when I wake up and I say to myself, today my mission is to be inspired and to inspire. It's, you know, making sure that I'm looking after myself and filling my cup up, but it's also about how can I give back to others, because that moment where I realized I was worth so much more than I thought was one of the most beautiful moments in my life, because it changed the trajectory of the future for me. And so if I can help people see that in any way, whatever way that looks or whatever way that's packaged, that's just, if I've done that at least with one person a day, I'm happy, whether that's through a podcast or a video or one-on-one chat.
Do you find that you find a common thread as to what blocks people from getting to that point?
I feel the pattern is that people just, they don't have the support or they don't have the mentorship or they don't have the guidance, which is exactly what I had. I think the reason what stopped me so much from moving forward was I didn't know where to look, and I couldn't find it. I wasn't actively looking, but I also, there was no one around me in my circle that I could reach out to and ask for help. And so that's why I am loud on social media and I do voice how I feel and I do voice what we do, because there might be someone out there that doesn't know they need this, but when they finally find it and it falls in their lap, and if they listen to the universe and they listen to the guidance that they're getting and they become curious enough to take a closer look, then it could potentially change their life forever, like it did for me, you know.
Cool. Yeah, I'm just thinking about, I'm just thinking about, you know, when you, because it's like people think that when you get that epiphany of, oh, everybody needs to know this, everybody needs to, if it can happen for me, it can happen for everybody, that, you know, your life falls in front of you and away you go, and it's all, you know, it's all cupcakes, rainbows and unicorns. And in actual fact, it's just, it's the beginning of the challenge. Because as you were talking earlier, I'm just thinking about when I first got it, you know, when I first got it, you know, it's like, there's so many challenges then come up, you know, there's so much stuff that you have to use what you got to be able to go, no, I can make it through this, because I know there's no way it showed me this and has given me this challenge for this challenge to stop me. This challenge is just something for me to work out about me, and so that I can just be of greater influence and I can reach people more and I can touch people more. What were some of the challenges that have come up for you since having that moment of, okay, I get it? What were some of the initial challenges that I suppose some of your own people may have come across?
Man, so many. I have a saying, and it's another level, another devil, because it's, you know, it's not like this. It's not linear. It doesn't go up all the time. Yeah. And so I guess some of the challenges that have come up for me in both leadership and in my personal life is just, first of all, doing the work, because the work is hard. It's not easy. Yeah. And so you really have to have that discipline to go within. And that hurts, and it's not nice. It's ugly. And also, you know, even simple things like when I get triggered about something, rather than being a victim about it, trying to turn, like, and to have the self-awareness to turn it around and go, right, well, what am I condemning in that person or that event that I'm actually condemning in myself? But then trying to find the thing that you're actually doing, like, that's hard. And, you know, I'm lucky that I have you guys, and I'm lucky to have Matt to be able to reflect that back to me, because sometimes I don't do that willingly. And so that itself, I think as well, just seeing your self-worth, that it's more than what it is at that time, is really hard too, because you're only accustomed to what you're used to and what you feel like your belief system lies, where your belief system lies. Yeah. And then there's just that always that next little bit of growth that you need to have, and that's hard as well, seeing that. And, man, I mean, I have invited hundreds, if not thousands, of people to Mastermind and Money. Don't get me wrong. Like, all my team know about it, even my closest friends. I've had people say no to a free ticket. I've had people say, you know, okay, I'll come, and they don't come. I've even had friends come to the event and they've done nothing with it. And you're just like, what? Why? But I guess the challenges that come up are, yeah, that whole, it comes down to self-worth at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Well, I think you know, everything does, especially when you take on, you know, one of the biggest challenges for me throughout my life has always been this part of me that's wanted to be liked, you know, like, I want people to like me, you know, and when someone doesn't like me, like it used to really fuck me up, you know, I'd like, oh my God, that person doesn't like me. They don't even know me. Why don't they like me? Why are they saying this? Da, 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 da. You know, and it took a lot of emotional intelligence to understand and manage that part of myself, you know, that this is not real, Mitch. This is just about your next level. That person that you perceive doesn't like you actually loves you, and you just haven't seen it. And their act or their jab or their bullet is just about the next level. And I know that. I mean, with any of the influencers that we deal with, one of the first things we have to do is to get them past that point, to start to understand that point. That it's all just love, and it just comes sometimes in ways that we're not sure, but if we just stop and look, we can see it there. How do you manage that with some of your guys? Because I know a lot of them are online and they're following your model. How do you help them with that?
It's hard. It's so hard, especially when you're building a business online and you rely on your online presence and social media. It can get addictive, right? It can even get vicious, the cycle of wanting people to follow you, wanting people to like you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, for me, when it just comes back down to service, and, you know, I tell my girls on every training that I can with them, the reason why our team sticks out and the reason that we have a point of difference, and that's that we care. And I really want to do business soulfully. And so just be online and add value where you can, educate where you can, inspire where you can, entertain where you can, and with no agenda other than just being your authentic self online. And there will be people that don't like that, and there will be people that love that, and that's okay. You know, I've had my fair share of trolls. I've had my fair share of people writing blogs about me, people just totally like running my name through the mud, and that just comes with it, right? Yeah. I think when you feel like your mission on this planet is to inspire and to really create ripples in the world, you have to expect that some people are just not going to deal really well with that. It's just not going to sit well with people. And, you know, it's going to be people that you love and trust, and they're going to hurt you the most.
Sure. Sometimes that happens. I want to just touch on something. I don't know where it came into your whole story, Shen, but I know you were big in the health industry. You were doing modeling, fitness modeling, weren't you? Where was that in the? Where was that in there? Because I'm curious about where.
And I've done a bit of that myself over years, so I'm curious to see where it was for you.
Do you know the reason why I'm curious is because I know you're saying things that you're talking about, you know, certain challenges, and I'm wonder where your self worth was at that time. I'm curious about that. I never knew where it fit into the cycle, you know,
in the timeline. The
timeline, yeah.
Well, okay, After I got kicked out of home, I moved to Brisbane a couple of years later because I got a dream job up there at the Wesley Hospital, an amazing hospital. My gosh, I loved that job. And so when I moved to Brisbane, I had just gotten out of a – this is pre-mat. I got out of a really horrible relationship, And it was like, new me, new city, I don't know anyone here. So I joined a gym. This is where I started to look at my health a little bit more. Mm. Joined a gym, met some really awesome people at that gym who are great friends today still. And they, I don't know how it even happened. It kind of was a joke. They said, Shani, you should compete in this competition. And I had no friends. So I thought, okay, am I going to look cool if I do this? So I competed in a competition, fluked it. I don't know if you want to call it fluking it or actually did the work and deserved it. I smashed it. I think I got like fifth place at a national competition. Wow. At a state competition, I should say. Then because I got fifth, I got taken through to nationals. I got third at nationals, and because I made the top three at the nationals, I was invited to compete for Australia at the World Olympia in San Diego. Wow. And it was just like this, wow, what's happening here? Before I know it, I'm on a plane going to San Diego. And by this point I had been working out, I should say, like working out really hard, dieting and doing all the things for the competition world for about 7 months at this point. And by that point, my self-worth here had really grown. I was, you know, I promised myself 4 seasons to be single to get over that previous relationship. And in that, the 4 seasons or 12 months, I really grew. I made new friends. I had a job that I really loved. I started doing things for me. I started eating really well. And so I won a world championship at this.
That's right.
Like you should see the photo of me on the podium. My face is like gobsmacked. I'm like, what is happening? How did I just win this? So that's sort of where it fits in. And when I got back to Australia, that's where Matt and I got together.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Really lovely. So how do you look back on that time? What do you think when you look back on that time?
It was pivotal because it was really where a lot of growth happened for me before I even started getting into personal development. Mm. It was me finding myself, me finding my voice, me finding Shani without an attachment to another human, finding new friends, doing a job that I had studied so hard for. You know, getting that dream, it was just like little things fell into place. And I feel like my self-worth-o-meter was just like, you know, little increments. It was just growing and growing by all these things happening. And as my self-worth grew, just these beautiful opportunities just sort of showed up in my pathway. It just kept happening like time after time. And yeah, it's very serendipitous how it all happened. But I look back on that time as such a transformational time in my life. That was really, I think, where I grew into like Shani, the shy, you know, teenager Shani to, wow, this is Shani as a woman, like growing into who she really needs to be.
Cool. How's your relationship with your mom now?
Beautiful.
That's good.
She's gorgeous as well, isn't she? Cool. She's lovely.
Yeah. I drive her nuts and she drives me nuts, but we love each other. We do business together, which is amazing. My relationship with my mother is it blossoms it continuously, and something, you know, we've been able to distinguish some really cool things, like my love language is words and her love language is touch. And so, you know, she really loves hugs, and I've always been, I'm kind of like a cat, like don't, like, you know, like a cat doesn't want to be touched.
Yeah. Kind of,
and then when we distinguished that we have totally opposite love languages, and then we started to, you know, I hug her now, I give her cuddles, and she knows that I love letters and I love texts and I love like voice messages. That's my love language. Like, we just have a really beautiful relationship now, and we work really well together as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, man.
Okay, so we're going to finish up, Shan. Before we do, can I just ask you, what is the one thing that you feel you're the most grateful for in your life right now?
That's a good question. I could say so many things.
See if you can narrow it down.
Right now?
Right now.
Just don't say much. Because that's just corny.
I'm actually really grateful for what's happening around the world right now, just how the world slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's forced me to pivot and sort of change the way that I do things. I mean, before 2020, I was just 100 miles an hour doing 100 things at once, and I could do that really well, but it was happening at a cost, and that was my total well-being, because I would prioritize my business before everything. That's just ingrained in me. I will always put my business before everything and anything because I love it. I'm obsessed with it, and I love helping people. So this time has really forced me to slow down and take a step back and change a few things that we're doing. I've also got a brand new puppy, so I just can't pull big 12-hour days right now. I'm toilet training this little puppy that pisses everywhere. And it's just, it's cool because it's just a whole new world right now, and I love it. I've just found myself a little bit more now in this time.
Oh, that's cool.
Shan, you know, just from my point of view, or I think probably I'm speaking for Mitch here too, but whenever we speak your name, whenever we talk about you, we're always overwhelmed by the amount of love that we have for you. You know, you just, you take things by the horns, you take life by the horns, and you just, you're one of our heroes with how you've implemented the work, with what you do, with how you help other people, with the fact that you're so authentic. Like, we meet a lot of people in your field. We meet a lot of people who have influence, but there's very few that we can say are as authentic and as down to earth and as just lovely as you are. And we really, really appreciate just even being able to know you and hang out with you and, you know, mull things over with you and, you know, just be able to, you know, hang out. We love that. And we really appreciate your time today. I thought that was really cool. And I think that our listeners are going to be, because we talk about you a lot. So I think they're going to have a little bit more insight into who you are. And yeah, that was lovely. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Give Maddie a big hug and a kiss from both of us as well, please.
I will. Love you guys.
Love you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.